Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I'd like to start out with a joke today. A man arrives at the gate to heaven, and St. Peter asks, "Religion?" The man said, "Methodist." And St. Peter said, "All right, go to room 24, but please be quiet when you pass room 8. Then the next person walks up, "Religion?" St. Peter asks, "Lutheran." Man says, "All right, go to room 18, but please be very quiet when you're passing room 8. Then the next person walks up, "Religion?" "Presbyterian." "Like, great, room 14, but please be quiet when you're passing room 8. Said, "Sure, no problem, but why do we have to be so quiet when we pass room 8? And St. Peter said, "Well, that's where I send all the Baptists, and they think they're the only ones up here." Now, of course, you could insert any denomination you want to make fun of. I just had to pick one. When I went to seminary, there was a class I had with a professor on world religions, and he talked about them in the kind of the same way as that joke. During the class, he explained that we can think about different religions in one of two ways using the analogy of climbing a mountain. Said, on the one hand, you could see every person climbing the same mountain to God. On the east side, you might have the Buddhists, and on the north side, you might have the Christians, on the west, the Muslims, on the south, the Jews, and everybody's climbing the same mountain, but nobody knows that anybody else is on that mountain. It's just too wide. But then once they get to the top, they're all going to realize, hey, we've all been seeking the same God jokes on us, right? From this point of view, as long as you care about God, that you're a spiritual person seeking to follow some form of religion, you're going to be fine. Now, the other way of thinking about it is a little bit different, that each faith group is climbing a separate mountain looking for a different goal. So the one true God will be on top of only one mountain, and everybody else is going to be disappointed and probably get in a lot of trouble as well. Now, at the time, I was just a freshman in seminary. I really liked what this professor had to say because about climbing the same mountain, it made me feel a lot better about people who weren't Christian, you know, because that way it was going to end up being okay for them after all. It made me feel a little better too because, you know, what if I'm the one that's wrong? I'd be all right no matter what. But according to the Bible then, I found a problem with this. I think there is an answer to this question, and I think my professor actually had it a little wrong, or at least was misunderstanding something, or maybe I was misunderstanding what he was saying. I don't know. But in our reading from today, John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This exclusive claim that Jesus says makes it pretty clear that there are lots of mountains, but only one of them goes to God. That mountain, we can call that mountain Jesus, but if you put your trust in him, you're going to find God. But if you don't put your trust in Jesus, you're not going to find God. You might find things that you think are God or that you put your trust in, but you're not going to find the way to life. Even if you are very sincere, even if you're doing your best, Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to God. At least that's what the Bible says. And if I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, then I have to believe that one too. There's another exclusive claim in the Bible that we read about in Romans 3. It's taken from Psalms. It says, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means that on our own, there's no way we can get to God. Not even if we know what mountain to take. Not if we try really, really hard. There's no way for us to even start climbing the mountain. It's impossible. So while it might seem very exclusive at first to say Jesus is the only way. In my mind, it's actually kind of amazing and very inclusive because everyone who puts their faith in Jesus actually has a way to the Father, a way that no one had before. As John 3:16 puts it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life." So all who believe in him, even though they had absolutely no chance of making it to God due to their sin, are saved, all, just through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus makes the impossible possible for everyone. It's very inclusive. He is the way to the Father, the only way, yeah, but at least there is a way now, which I find pretty amazing and something worth sharing. And that's one of the reasons why what happened here this morning when I baptized Brooks and Weston, why that's so important. God named and claimed these boys as his own. Now he's letting their mom and dad take care of them for a while on this earth, but they're always going to be his boys. And they heard God's words of love this morning, and all the rest of us did too. And now as they grow older, we can share with them the way and the truth of Jesus so that they can have life and faith in him. Proverbs 22 says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Now these boys, I mean, they're probably going to rebel against their parents. We all do, but I have a feeling they're just so good right now that they're just getting, you know, it's just delayed a little bit. But they're always going to know the truth, because they're going to know Jesus, and they're always going to be able to find a way back home, because God has promised to never leave them or forsake them their whole life long. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." A few years ago, I kept hearing this phrase in conversations and on the news and like just various places. It'd say, "I'm living out my truth," people would say. The words, they always bothered me. I wasn't quite sure why. Then I started to realize the problem. Who decides what's true? You or God? You know, as sinners, we always tend to believe that whatever I think is right must be right. Whatever's right for me must be right for everybody, no matter what. But the Bible maintains that following God's way, that's the best way. Sometimes they're going to match up. And then we're like, of course I follow what the Bible says, because that's what I like to do. But then if the Bible goes against something I like, we're like, well, I don't know what to do. What are you going to do when your way doesn't fit God's way? In the book of Deuteronomy, God says, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Now choose life, that you and your children may live." Can you imagine having a choice between life and death and choosing death? And yet I think we do that a lot. On accident maybe, but we do it. We don't realize the ramifications of our choices when we're always trying to do things our way and we don't even care what the Bible says. I think the best way to understand this, I know there are a lot of parents in this room, and I think when you're a parent, you kind of get this a little bit easier. We love our children, and we want them to be happy, and we want them to live out their individual strengths and gifts. We want that, but it's often easy for us to see that the way that they're going is going to get them into trouble. Like, it's not a way towards life. And so, as a parent, you try to warn your kid. You try to tell them to stop them from doing something. And they think that you're trying to control them, right? That you think that you're trying to stifle their creativity or their individuality, or that you just don't understand because you're a parent now and not their age. God isn't trying to control you or make you upset by giving you rules in the Bible. That's not what he's doing. He wants you to live a life that's happy, and not just for the short term, but for the long term. Instead of people focusing so much of their time living your truth, I just would pray that you would seek instead to live by the truth. Because that would give you a life not just full of experiences, some good and some bad, but a life worth living. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." When I was a kid, I remember I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I wanted to be a professional football player. I wanted to be a symphony director. I wanted to be a professional musician. And when I think back, I try to figure out, what do all these things have in common? And I think I just wanted to be the best at something. And I wanted everybody else to know it, because I thought that achieving greatness in the eyes of other people, that that's what was going to make me happy. But I could have saved myself a lot of time if I had learned earlier that following Jesus was actually going to be how I was going to be happy and find a life that really mattered. There's an author named Lois Bujold that said, "Everybody has it the wrong way around. Parents don't make children. Children make parents." How many people do you know that you watched trying to live their life to the fullest and do the craziest stuff as young adults, and yet they always seemed unhappy, like they were missing something? And then when they settled down and had children, their life got really boring. They didn't look exciting from the outside, but they seemed to be filled with a lot more happiness and joy and peace. What gives? I think this happens because when we're younger, we live for ourselves. I mean, you can live for yourself as an older adult too, but it happens most often when we're younger. We live for ourselves thinking that's how we're going to find a great life. But God knows the truth, that life is found in serving and loving other people. And you start to realize that when you have kids and you're like, my life is more about them than it's about myself. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he wants us to follow in the same way, whether it's with our kids or with other people. So if you're looking for a way to God, if you're looking for truth to live your life by, if you want to live a life filled with freedom and purpose, you'll find all of that in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It's an exclusive claim, it is, but that shouldn't embarrass us, and it shouldn't make us not tell people. In fact, it should encourage you to share this all the more. So that everyone might know Jesus and find the way and learn the truth and to have a life in him. Amen.